Good evening. This is Christopher Buck and
Leon Elize,
and we are here with Starseed 4. We're discussing walk-ins this evening, and welcome to everybody, and thank you for joining us.
All right. I understand you guys already read the material about the walk-ins that is available in the university.
Has everyone seen that?
I have not.
I think I might have read it a while back.
Dead silence. You can hear the crickets. Okay.
Yes.
Up in, as a matter of fact, I've got the university right here. Up in the Online Resource Center, we've got a section for star-seeded souls. And what we have is this is the fourth. Eventually, we may develop some more of these, but right now we have these four sections that we've been working on. Activations 1 through 4, where we talk about the different things, and this is the fourth. This is on walk-ins, but all the e-books are there.
Okay.
And you can download them and read them. Walk-ins actually is a fairly fairly good size one. It's 37 pages. So there's a lot of information. What will shall we see, start with basically what is a walk-in?
Yes. Well, there are very, very, I would say, diverse interpretations of what a walk-in really is.
And there's a lot of people out there who claim walk-in that aren't really walk-in.
Well, let's go back. Wandering souls. The walk-in is a wandering soul. It's a type of a wandering soul. It's not a phenomena of the New Age. Even though a lot of people say it just started with the New Age.
Oh no, there's references in the ancient texts about walk-ins.
Specifically on the Hindu tradition, there is clearly a story of a monk that I have no idea how to pronounce his name, tiramisu or something like this. Look like the
dessert, only
the dessert,
different.
Only different. But he saw a herdsman being hit by a lightning and felt pity for the family, so he voluntarily abandoned his body and entered the herdsman's body in order to finish up his life time and to help the family survive. And it said on the myth or on the story and on the mythology that this monk spoke a different dialect. Yet his name was Tirumlar. Yeah, it looks like tiramisu. I prefer to say the Italian.
Tiramisu, yes, that's it.
The Italian thing.
Patron saint of delicious desserts.
Yes. So what happened is that he left his body in order to continue that, but he spoke a different dialect. So it took a long time for him to learn the language of the herdsman. You know, India has like 500 different dialects and 6 root languages or whatever. It's a very diverse country. But you have reference of walk-ins in other ways and in other shapes and forms and manifestations. But basically, a walk-in is a different type of soul contract. And you can say that, it's known in the spiritual world that a good body is a bad thing to waste. You know, it's really a bad thing to waste. If, you know, you can actually have a contract directly with your soul and say, look, I can't do it. I can't do it. But I will willing, instead of dying and let the body go to waste, and the time here, in some cases, the soul reprogram another soul that can come and take place and do what they have to do in the time limit there is, you know, the residual of existence. Now, there is some implications to this. The implication, there's two types of implications. One implication of the soul that gets in, and another implication of the soul that gets out. And the reason being is that the soul that gets in, not all the wandering souls, not all the walk-ins are successful on taking over a body and really has problems adapting
and acclimating
acclimating to a new existence. especially because they come from different dimensions, or they're too used to a higher vibrational field, and answering a body like straightforward is much harder than doing the process of incarnation. So there are, you know, there is no guarantees first that it will be successful. And this goes, you know, the capability to be successful goes higher as the body is older. And that's one of the reasons they say that, you know, they don't have many records of people that say that they were walk-ins on a tender age, because they adapt so well that they really adapt and absorb and assimilate the memories of the body as their own. May occur then late at night, a life, they activate the original memory, and then they say, wow, I really was not born on this body. But it's exotic. But as an adult life, there's no guarantee that the walk-in will be successful on using a body that's already, you know, passed through the process of birth, of educational system, you know, a relationship system, to, you know, I would say start over, hit the ground running.
Well,
because that's basically the idea. A soul that needs to finish up a contract, a karmic contract, or came with a special mission. A lot of star seeds came and basically during the 70s, 60s, 70s, and 80s in masses, and they tried to come in and enter and hit the ground running to prepare Earth to this stage, but not necessarily all of them were successful. And why not? Because to take one soul out of the body and insert another one is a very delicate, absolutely delicate spiritual surgery, because you're going to detach all the extraphysical bodies to that body and replace the extraphysical bodies of the new soul in. So you have to reweave all the electrical, I'm using this analogy, but the electrical system of another soul to that soul. And you have to detach the other one, so the other one will have no damage and proceed with their life journey, you know, even afterlife journey. But what happens basically is this. They usually detach, and you know, in one day or one episode, like somebody has a physical breakdown and go into coma. And then the thing changed. You know, we all know cases of people that went to coma and was a very successful engineer, came out of coma and decided to be a gardener, you know, or write books about butterflies, or, you know, do strange things and say, yeah, he changed. You know, he had a one-on-one with God. Well, maybe not. Maybe, you know, with another soul that entered. But here's the thing. What they usually do, they displace the three lower chakras of the other soul, the old soul that was in the body, and do the implant or the reattachment to the three lower chakras to the new soul. And this is a very complicated process. Now, the other chakras, the upper chakras, what they do is, because the upper chakras have the memories of this existence imprinted in codes and, you know, in memory cells. Mm. But in order to not make the person completely forget everything, they leave the four upper chakras. So, you know, there will be, in, you know, merging with time with the new soul. So that's what happens sometimes when a walk-in soul, a wandering soul come in. If it was a marriage, it's like, I didn't marry you. I have no idea who you are. I have no connection whatsoever with you. And I don't even like my hair. I'm going to change my hair. My hair will be blue. So there is a It's a very complicated situation. It has to do with the fiber and the fabric and the reweaving of the extra physical bodies and the reconnection of chakras. So it really takes a while. Usually take 2 to 3 years for a walk-in, you know, adapt, if he's going to be successful, adapt to a new physical body. Now, this is one thing. Okay, what do you wanna...
What I was going to pop in is, when we're talking, this is a delicate procedure. One of the things that we've heard in several quarters is people come up and said, yeah, you know, I used to do, I was doing this and doing that, and I was doing drugs, and I OD'd, and... You know, I became a walk-in, and when I came up, and therefore I'm not responsible for anything I've done in my past. And it's always kind of, you look at this and you say, well, no, not really. One of the things you actually have to have is a healthy body. It's a delicate enough procedure with a healthy body when you have a body that's been abused by substance abuse or some of these other things. Then it's next to impossible to make a transition for a walk-in. That's more likely a person who's decided they've been given a second chance and they're going to
erase their past.
You know, just start over and pretend. And that's fine, but that's not a classical walk-in that we're talking about in the spiritual sense.
So this is one of the things. Another question that always has appeared during the 70s and 80s is what happened with the soul that leaves. This is just, you know, theoretic stuff. What they say basically is that the soul extension is reabsorbed by the original soul. They have 12 soul extensions, is reabsorbed and reassigned. So it is not really a loss, because every experience that we have here, negative or positive, doesn't have, and from our soul's eyes, has no judgment. It's all experience.
It's a learning experience.
It is a learning experience. It's not going to be, you as a soul extension is not going to be judged by your divine part, you know, or your divine console saying, what a goof, you know, you went down there and did this. No. Oh, you're like, oh my God, don't you have brains? No, it's all assimilated as, you know, experience. And more experience a soul can gather, more the level of consciousness amplifies. And the more the level of consciousness amplifies, more capability to receive light your soul has. So it's really a vital element, the gathering of experience. So when you say to somebody, when you say to your kid, go out there in the world and do different things, I'm not saying, you know, crazy stuff, but go different things, go meet people, know things, learn things. This is all enriching experiences that will feed your soul, you know, and that's the reason that a lot of people have an immense pleasure in reading books. You know, or reading poetry, or listening to a piece, or seeing a piece of art, because it feeds the soul, the experience, you know, the aesthetic feeling, that vibrate, the energy. This is necessary for your soul. And I'm talking not as soul extension, as personality as we are right here. I'm talking about the higher entity that's up there and that sends us down. So, this is one of the things. Other things that we should know about walk-ins, basically. I'm doing it in the general thing. If you guys have personal experiences, you know, I'm here.
and we'll get to question and answers in just a little
bit.
Yeah,
but, you know, if I know how to answer, you know, I'm here to learn, too. So, the other thing about the walk-ins is, again, when they say that it's really rare to have all walk-ins as children. But I believe that they are the most successful experiences than anything else. Because as a child, even though he didn't pass through, you know, the mother's birth sensation, the 9 months and things like that, a child would have more chance to adapt and has more chance to be successful. It will not hit the ground running as the idea of a walk-in is, but it will certainly have more conditions to succeed because they will be adapted to a world that is unknown to them, you know, at first. So at least you are growing with it, not like getting at 40 and say like, all righty then, you know, what is this? You guys still use cell phone? We're like, ugh. No. So another thing is the discussion on how, who are those souls and where they came from. Because the phenomena of walk-in has nothing to do with possession. Nothing to do with possession. You know, nothing to do with overshadowing, which is another type of phenomena when you have two entities, one entity that's more powerful and higher in vibration and overshadows somebody. This is what we truly believe to happen with Jesus. When Lord Maitreya, that was the representative of the Christ consciousness on this section of the universe, overshadowed them during the 3 years of his ministry. But it was not a possession. It did not enter the body of Jesus. The overshadowing in itself, it said in the Bible in a very interesting way, was during the baptism on the Jordan. When in the Bible they said that the huge voice came from the skies and a dove, a white dove, showed up and said, "This is my son." And I believe that he didn't get baptized. I myself think that he got attuned. That's what they probably did. They washed. You know, they did a very good cleansing. They did the ritual. And Jesus was attuned to receive the Holy Spirit or, you know, whatever you want to do. That was an overshadowing.
If you look at the ceremony or the theurgy, if you will, of the baptism of Christ, it was very much in the Essenian tradition.
Yes. Essenian with a little bit of touches of the Sabaeans.
The Sabaeans.
Yes. So, but anyways, this is a different phenomena. Overshadowing is in itself a different phenomena. Walk-ins has nothing to do with possession. Possession, actually, it's really kind of misunderstood because people think that possession just occurs with
the forces of Satan.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily. It can be a possession by a disincarnated entity, somebody that passed over and refused to go and still thinks that needs a physical body. And they will, you know, if there are souls like that, they're wandering, but they're not wandering souls, cosmic wandering souls. And they do that. So it's a kind of a gray area, but definitely walk-ins has nothing to do with possession, as we know it nowadays. Now, here's the problem. Well, the wandering beings that comes and enters and takes over a contract have a big challenge. First of all, before they do their own work, it's part of their contract that they will clean up the personal karma of the body that they took over. And this is not an easy task, because that's one of the reasons you say that it's not necessarily going to be a successful transference or a successful takeover. Because the, you know, it's part of their contract. They're like free contractors. They get in and say, if you can't clean this karma in 30 years, after 30 years, you can do your stuff. You hit the ground running, but, you know, you don't need to go through all the process of selection and the da-da-da-da-da waiting room before Earth, because now it's kind of hard to come at Earth. You know, even though we have births every day, it's kind of hard because, you know, it's just the way it is. So anyhow, you wait in the line to have a chance to come. And the perfect karma, the perfect this, the perfect that. So they come on other bodies, but they have to clean up the karma of the previous body, the previous owner of the body as part of their, you know, you have to clean somebody else's trash before you can actually implant yours and go ahead with your mission. Now, again, who are those beings? Many beings come from other third dimensional worlds. There are beings of fourth dimension. There are beings of fifth and sixth dimension, but those are really rare. Most of the walk-ins, and I know it's not a good, you know, good news for people that think they are walk-ins because they all think they came from sixth dimension, but they are other worlds. They are 3G. They're not as messed up as ours is. Amazingly enough, they're not necessarily messed up. They didn't damage their environment. They don't cultivate that much hate. So they are worlds. They're 3G. They're not necessarily in the same pattern of vibration that we are. But Earth is known out there as the path of the strong. So it's not really, it's one of the t-shirts actually I want to do for Humanity Healing is saying, you know, Earth is not for sissies. You know, it's not everybody that can come here. Yeah, that's one of the t-shirts. Earth ain't for sissies. You know, it is very hard. The lessons are hard. And why the lessons on Earth are hard? Earth is a school. It's called Earth School, but it's the path of the strong. Why? Because the time that you make here, an existence of, let's say, 70 years existence, corresponds an evolution as 1,000 years in other places, because the lessons here are hard. And I'm talking in chronological time so we can all understand, even though the time is not linear and all the way to count time is not all the same as we do. But the biggest thing about this is that when you enter Earth School, and the difficulty resides in the fact that Earth School, you receive the test first, and then the lesson. In every other school in the solar system, I would say planetary school or star school, the lesson is given first and then the test. Earth School is upside down. You receive the test first. If you fail, you receive the lesson. Because it's like, it's no never. You know, if you made it in Earth School, you're done. And one of the rewards here, actually one of the biggest rewards that you have in coming to Earth School is not only a brother level of consciousness, but also a gift to develop compassion. And it's known by all the ones, you guys, there are so star-seeded souls. You know that compassion is something that's just developed through human experience. It's characteristic of a human existence. There are other beings that they primarily develop some qualities and virtues. But the human existence has a unique characteristic, and that's what is really important to God, the Creator, and the importance that they give to human race. And look what we're doing. We have one of the most beautiful gifts given to the heart, from the heart of God to ours, which is the possibility to learn compassion through helping each other selflessly.
But it's my personal belief when we talk about God is or man was created in God's image. I think it's the key of this is compassion, because it's our, you know, it's being human that you're able to develop. So I think that this is what they were talking about.
That's exactly it. So many beings come, they come from other 3D worlds. Doesn't mean that they are lesser or just, oh my God, another human. Yeah, another human. You know, another human just like me, but with a different perspective, a different life experience, a different way to see, or a different way to deal with things. So it's not lesser or more. Christopher kindly told me that we are at 45 minutes, so we can share experiences, otherwise I talk forever.
Well, what will happen is we've got the teleconference service. We're tied up for about an hour this evening, and I want to make sure we get some questions in before the buzzer goes buzz and everyone gets cut off. So are there any questions out there, or should we just keep talking? Are there any questions out there for pertaining to walk-ins?
I have a question.
All right.
When the soul transference occurs, will the walk-in retain all the memories that the previous soul had, or
yes?
Okay.
I would say the vast majority of them.
Yes.
I don't know if it'll do all of them, but because of the you know what's left and what's taken, it should have most of them.
Yes, mm-hmm. At least what they need to operate. Mm-hmm. And need basically to proceed the cleansing, whatever time it is that will demand, and proceed with their own, personal purpose, life purpose.
So to reiterate, a walk-in's not typically what you'd see is someone coming out of, getting amnesia and mm-hmm. saying, okay, it's like I'm here, I'm a new person because I don't remember anything of my old. That's not really the same thing.
That doesn't, you know, I'm not saying it cannot happen, but it's not what really serious people that have been studying the walk-in phenomena can report to. So it's...
One more question regarding that. And so what's the difference between a walk-in that's having their awakening and then indigo starseed that's been incarnate the entire time having their awakening?
Well, it's not much of a difference. The difference with the starseeds is what I said before. The walk-ins can be some starseeds, when they are the fifth, sixth, and higher dimension, but can be a common walk-in of a third dimension from another world. And the starseed, the only difference is the crystalline structure of their DNA. But, you know, this is also relative because everybody that passes through an almost-death experience, it's kind of a common fact that you ignite the fifth and the sixth strand of your DNA. So anybody that passed through a situation of shock or almost that near-death experience necessarily get this the get-going of their DNA. Therefore, they expand their perspective, and that's where you get, like, the visions you have on the other side or the contacts you had with beings that speaks with you and say, go back or go forth, or you shouldn't have done this or that. But what basically the difference is the structure of the DNA. The indigo children, we come usually with four DNA activated, four strands, four activated, you know, since the time of birth. And we know that we, you know, come with two and barely three activated, but crystal children, star-seeded children come with four. And that's one of the reasons they have an energy that nobody can contain. You know, and those kids, they have ADD. Let's give them Ritalin so they can calm down and stop asking questions. So, that's what they do. But, again, there is a device, but actually it's not artificially done. There is a device on the star-seeded souls, star seeds, which is crystal. And this crystal gets activated when memory is saying, okay, you play around enough, you had your time, you know, now, boom.
Time to get to work.
Time to get to work. You know, So it's fun. It's kind of fun. But it's just basically the amount of DNA that you have in possibilities as being star-seeded. So as being star-seeded, you already have four that you come with. You can develop 14 up to 28, I guess, if I heard properly, 28, when the regular human is wired only to 12. So the possibilities in all those DNAs, what they give you is basically gifts and aptitudes. So if you say I have 24 of my DNA strands activated, that means that you have, in a scale from 1 to 24, 24 different aptitudes. I don't know if I'm being clear here.
Well, I think it's one of these things where we're creating more questions than we're answering.
Okay, sorry.
Well, that's one of the problems with this topic is there's so much more to learn and study.
Yep. So
does that answer your question?
What are those aptitudes?
Well, it can be the aptitudes can be many. Can be the possibility to communicate directly to angels. Can be a possibility to travel in time. Be a possibility to have lucid dreams. To see facts ahead of time. To read Akashic records. As you know,
the thing is like with your regular DNA, it's not just one thing. It could be brown hair. It could be black hair. It could be this sort of thing. All these the aptitudes are kind of like that, too.
They're very particular of the combination of them, of each one of us, because of our DNA heritage, our upbringings, and how this, goes. So it can be, those aptitudes are qualities and gifts. You can use as gifts. Gifts you have, gifts of comprehension, gift to understanding a situation without even nobody speaking. You already, I know that now. And I know the entire story. Mm. Knowing, perceiving, and the ability to interfere without healing is another one. So those are 24 aptitudes, but they can have their own degrees, like higher healing and then psychological, emotional areas, or I would say psychic abilities, but psychic abilities just to write instead of seeing or instead of having conversation with dead people, but those are gifts. So as we are wired, the star seed can go up to 24 or more. Usually they think our world is very boring and very slow. it's like, let's just speed up, people. Well, it's not my case, though, but that's okay.
Well, they are here to raise the vibration.
Yeah, raise the vibration.
Thank you.
So, go ahead.
I just have a question. So what happens if the walk-in is not successful? Does that mean that then the person dies or something?
The body dies and the walk-in goes back in the queue to incarnate.
Wow. So they don't get two chances. They get one chance.
It's one chance. And I tell you more. They have no assistance from the master because the masters really don't like the white fraternity. They really don't like this path. They think it's like, if you have to get to this, it's because really, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah, I've never heard of a single case of like a walk-in and then a second walk-in taking over from the first walk-in, or then maybe another walk-in after that.
I actually did. I actually did hear that. Remember that guy that did a meditation, which I love that meditation. the meditation from the your breathing light, that happened. And then I got a meditation, and I wrote to him, and I said, can I use this meditation? And, I will give you credits. And then he said, well, the problem is it was the walk-in that was in this body. Now she left. It was a guy. Now she left. but I heard that she's with such and such.
Well, see,
then I wrote to such and such and said, oh, she, unfortunately, she left too. She's such and such else.
My goodness. So,
and then I received a letter, and she said, oh, I finally found a new body. I'm here. I give you permission.
And which was
kind
of interesting, but I think that's probably more of overshadowing than
I have
than
no idea
walk,
what it was.
We have no idea.
But then she was like, oh, yeah, like 3 months later, she said, I give you permission. I said, thank you. It's like a walk-in everywhere in this planet. She jumped from Australia to New Zealand, then in England, and finally in the U.S.
Well, it is kind of interesting to be trying to get permission from somebody who wrote something and then say, oh, no, that was the, you know, person that was, you know, inhabiting my body at the time, but they've moved on. Can you check with so-and-so? It's like, okay.
That's and actually,
really
it's there. It's there. It was a meditation for the golf. It's on the YouTube.
Oh.
And if you go to them, you know, I think it's my channel in YouTube. You go there, you have her answering me there. Saying, I know I have a new website. I have a new body. Here, you want to find me? I'm here. I give you my permission. Then.
Wow.
Thank you.
Cool beans.
Cool. that was the only case I heard of jumping around.
But as I said, I'm not sure if that's a classical walk-in or if that's another phenomena, or to be honest, we don't know everything, so.
Something like that,
yeah.
I have another question, too. Is it possible for a person to have a walk-in if they're not in a coma, if they're not in a car accident, but they have some other kind of, I'm just curious, if you could have some other kind of.
Yes. You can have
something that's not like that.
You can have severe, you know, a severe psychological trauma.
You can have a breakdown.
You know,
like a mental breakdown.
Like
yeah,
a mental breakdown.
Yeah,
and
like
basically,
that.
The soul that's there is saying, "Look, I can't cope with this." You know,
we have one healer, and I will not tell him his name, but we have a very skilled healer that is a walk-in. He's one of the people that I most recommend. When we have strange cases, and believe me, we do have strange cases, you know, not really a healing, it's a healing.
A typical healing, not your typical healing situations. We have had some very interesting cases, and this particular gentleman loves us because he's like, you know, where do you find these? This is great. I really have to stretch myself. And I was well, we're just glad that you're there.
Yes. And he is a walk-in, and his experience is very interesting because it happened when he was 5 years old. He was not five. The father of the body was very abusive. And the pick up the girl, the boy, and you know, doing something that he didn't want him to do, and start beating him up to the point that he killed him. So the father got scared, of course, in the Deep South. He got really scared, and he decided to bury the boy. When he was digging a hole to bury the body, the new soul came in, got inside the body, took the other one out, and walked out of the grave and said, now you listen to me. And that scared
him. Whoa.
Yeah, it scared the dead of the shit list. You know, it's like, all right. But he came fully aware and awake. And it was one of the most incredible experiences. But he is absolutely an incredible shaman. Gifted, you know, beyond dimensions. But he is a very interesting soul, and one of the people that I would trust completely my own life to his hands, because you know he's really sincere, and this is a type of man that he's here really to help. So it's one of the cases I know other walk-ins, and they're kind of interesting.
We've got about 4 more minutes. Does anybody else have any questions?
You know, you're kind of inhibiting them to ask questions.
I do have another question. Well, the reason why I asked that was because I just wondered also, after a walk-in experience, does a person said they might change their career, but what about their you know, say they're, the way they do things, the way they behave.
Yeah.
I mean,
yes, they
like
do.
Maybe when they, maybe being a neat freak before a slob after, or the handwriting changing, or, you know.
Oh, yes, everything changes.
But those are kind of classic
symptoms. Yeah, they change everything.
Yeah, it is.
including the fact, like we talk about, marriages get broken out of nothing. Like, I just
that too, yeah.
Because the bond isn't there. I mean, that was, the bond was with a different person.
Yeah, the marriage is breaking up, yeah.
And
then,
no good reason.
Yeah.
Children, a lot of them that have children go to a, like, oh my God, I'm supposed to take care of those children. You know, and they're like, ah.
Oh.
and it can be a very challenging. And that's one of the reasons that doesn't mean that they will succeed. It's a very, very, a short line, and it is really not the normal thing. You know, it won't be a normal way for our soul to manifest. It's really difficult to catch the Buzz Wayans movement, and not everybody succeeds. But it's a good try. You have to say, you know, it's a good try. Only daring or crazy souls do it. Or both, you know. I myself think, and this is my own opinion, you know, I mean, I don't have any material resource to support this. I think that for one soul to be replaced, it has to come from the soul family. It has to come of your family of light. So the soul sends out another extension and does somewhat the changings, you know, or relocate one of the extensions from another dimension to this dimension. So this is what I personally think. I don't have any study case to support this. The only study case I have...
It makes sense, though.
The
transplant.
Yeah, and I tell you this is like after a lot of reflection upon my own case. You know, I walked in at 5, and I didn't know. For instance, I know the woman that inhabits this body, and I know she's living in somewhere in Eastern Europe, and I kept seeing this person. I know, go to the mirror and I see this person, and I know everything about her, and I never saw her in the life. Actually, recently I saw that her husband passed away, and she by herself with 3 kids in Eastern Europe now, and it's like, you know, I have extreme compassion and bond with her, and I don't know who she is. You know, I don't know where she lives. I know it's Eastern Europe. I have a feeling it's Romania, but more than this, I don't know. So I am not really a classic case of walk-in. My experience was very odd.
Well, we're making some assumptions that she is a walk-in based on some of the experiences and the phenomena. But, I mean, there's really no way that she can really say.
Yeah,
there's no way.
I would say that I have 95% of assurance from all the symptoms that I have with all of those, you know, but because of the fact that the children walk-ins are not very much documented, I cannot see, you know, the possibility of having a support, you know, evidence, scientific support evidence that I do that, but I did at 5.
Wow.
So it's exotic. So, anyhow. Okay, so any more questions?
I have one more question. One more question. when you, like, somebody was asking, it's actually not about walk-ins, but comparing walk-ins to, say, a starseed awakening type thing, would it be a similar change, like, dramatically from, say, you're this way one day, then you're similar or not, or...
No, that's what the question that actually I may ask first. Not necessarily. No. It's okay. Then not necessarily. The walk-ins need the other soul out, or at least out of the...
I mean, the behavioral differences between the before and after situation, I just wondered if it's a similarity at all, or never.
Oh, no, on the walk, well, the star seeds, no. No, not necessarily.
Oh.
Not really necessarily. What happened with the star seed is they wake up and they said, okay, now we're talking, you know, now we are up to business. So this is wrong. It's not that they didn't have this before, because a child, there's a commercial that for me, I don't know if you guys have seen this commercial on TV, that for me is the perfect picture of a star-seeded child. The mother says, you know, she's playing the park, and then she comes to the mother and said, Mom, I made a new friend. And she said, okay, who are your friend? Who is your friend? And then she points, and there's a black child playing. And then she said, there. And the mother tells her, you shouldn't play with her. You should play this part, you know, this way here. We don't want you mixed with her. And then the little tiny bit child look of the mother says, why? You know, it's like, why? Just why? And it's like, boom, that's a commercial. And it says the power of one voice, the voice that questions. And that's what basically a very inquiring mind and a very like, this makes no sense. Can you explain to me, as I was 3 years old, why this is this way? And it still makes no sense, and they will not let you go scotch-free till you explain to them and make sense to them. No, this is not the way. No. Why? Why this? Why that? Well, no. So what happened to them when they grow up is like we said before, there is a device, and it's not an alien implant. It's not an alien implant.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a seed. When it's time to, and the weather is proper, the seed will bloom, you know, will start. And so it's like a seed on the DNA, and it's a crystal seed with memory. And this time is like a time bomb. It's like, all righty, then you got what you needed. You got the understanding of this and how this works on this dimension. Now let's start change. So this is how, more or less, an awakening of a starseed so happens. Because, again, there is a difference on the DNAs. We cannot say the same about all of them.
But I think one of the questions she was asking is, are there personality changes? Like, all of a sudden, the person's handwriting would change.
The awakening situation, yeah.
It's part of the awakening.
Well, it may have cases like that. Because it may have situations like that. And for the reason being is that everybody has a very personal and no transferable way to awake. Even a spiritual experience can be perceived differently. The same spiritual experience will be perceived different from different people because they have a different angle, and they was like, I no longer fit this, or I no longer fit that. I outgrew this. You know, I don't want to do this. It's like people's like, I don't know how I ate meat all my life. I cannot eat anymore.
Yeah.
I cannot eat meat.
That's
you know what I mean? It's, or just the opposite. Right. Or just the opposite. A lot of people do the opposite way. You know, it's like,
wow.
I myself am lactose intolerant. And I never liked milk or cheese or anything like that. But sometimes I have this compulsion to have pizza with cheese going to the kazoo. What is wrong with me? You know, I don't like it. But sometimes, what depends on what you need, on what your body needs to perform the transformation, the element. So if look at this as more a nutrient and everything else. But it can change. Again, there will always be some side effects or some manifestations that will be personal and particular of that individual and not the other one. So So I don't know if it is a good answer or not, but most of the starseeds that I knew that woke up, they woke up like, all righty, I finished this, now let's do something else. So that's what basically is the general experience. Did I answer your question?
No.
I know.
Yeah, thank you.
All right.
All right, everybody. I think we're going to need to wrap it up for the evening.
Yeah, and, you know, I wish we had more time and maybe reserve more time to discuss.
Well, we can have more of these discussions also in the future.
Sure.
But
and if you guys want to, you know, discuss a theme or we want to, you know, we can actually discuss a module step by step. It will be great. We just, you know, you need to set the conference call and send the stuff. It will be,
you know, we do have a forum in the university. I don't think anybody's ever used it yet, which is kind of interesting.
Yes.
Subtle hint there.
A forum.
But at any rate, I'd like to thank everybody for coming and joining us this evening. We, Leonie and I, really enjoy having these conversations and these informal talks as opposed to presentation mode.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. I was expecting somebody to come up and say, yes, that they are walking through. All right, thank you, everybody, but nobody did.
We don't know.
I was the only courageous soul to say that. But I don't tell everybody, please. That's just like, they go, I'm crazy.
What, do you want me to edit that out of the...
Yeah, well, maybe.
Maybe.
Okay, guys.
All right, everybody.
God
thank
bless
you so much.
You all. Yeah,
but have a wonderful New Year.
Yes, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, too. Bye.
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 Bye.